Good morning. Let's open in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for every time we open this book, we learn more about you. I thank you for this opportunity. I pray that your words may be my words, and Lord, that we can leave here just loving you and chasing after you and the wonderful redemption that you've given us from our sins. In your name, amen. Many of you know me. Some of you may not. Obviously, I'm Jim Varvel. My wife is here, Ramey. My son's here, Gabe. I also have two other children, Josie and Reese. They're back there. I'm originally from Alliance, Nebraska. I grew up in a loving and church-attending home. The emphasis there was on attendance. I did not ever remember hardly ever opening the Bible. It was simply going to church, and I'm good. How can other people serve me? And ultimately, how can God serve me? I was chasing the American dream. I was being taught to, hey, let's get an education, go to college, and find ways that I can earn a lot of money, fill my bucket of happiness with things, okay? God pushed me into leadership in everything that I've done. I was a shy, unassuming kid. Surprisingly, he put me in leadership wherever I went. And he called me into a line of banking that I never thought I would get into. And amazingly, he pushed me up the ladder in that as well. But as I chased this dream of that we call the American dream, I can remember saying to my wife, "What has God ever done for me?" Little did I know that this was the turning point that God would reveal himself to me. During this time, years went by. We were married. I wouldn't say that I was a true believer. We moved to central Nebraska. Our marriage struggled a little bit. Obviously, the years of young kids, newly married, learning a lot of things. It struggled. My career began to be my sole thing that I was chasing. We did start to work into a church, and God started to reveal the gospel to me. But as I learned more of this gospel, I was putting up a lot of walls. These selfish patterns that I was in, I didn't want to give them up. I wanted to have half in me and just give God part of my life. So this upswing of my career, I just began to get farther and farther away from him. But I can tell you, my life was an absolute misery. I was seeking relationships with people founded on just not good things and not speaking truth and just really neglecting my marriage and ultimately neglecting God. So as I suffered, as I call it suffering, God called me. He's just pushing on me. All right, Jim, you got to give me all of your life. Finally, amidst this, I just said, okay, I'm turning it over to you. We felt the calling to come back this way. I started to see that I was a sinful person. The only way that I could be made right was by faith in Jesus Christ. His redemption of me, it was earth-shattering, okay? Completely changed my life. We moved back here. My entire life, again, was about serving me. Now it suddenly became about serving others. So how could I, as a sinner and this banker of all things, how could I serve Christ? How could I do this? And it's just been an absolute change. I've now used this as an opportunity to build relationships with people and to show them a picture of what the love and the grace and the fruits of the Spirit are to everyone that I come across with. And, you know, one of the things that I felt I needed to do was renew our vows. My wife and I renewed our vows firmly in Christ. And I felt the burden to lead my family the way Christ has called me to. My goal has been now to impact those I work with, lead others as God has called me, and serve my community with a clear picture of Christ in my words and my actions. Do I have it all figured out? Absolutely not. I continue to struggle with my flesh. I continue to struggle with this American dream. But this community of believers has been such a huge impact in my life. God's word opened, and coming back here and taking God nudging me to do something that was different than what I knew, which was actually looking at his word and seeing the love from others. And it's just been an amazing change. So I had a lot written here, and I've plowed through it very quickly. It's pretty good tendency by me. I just want to thank you again for this church, for everyone here, for this opportunity, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim. That was great. Jim's a good brother. He's an elder of Ridgeview Bible Church. He didn't say that. I'm really thankful to serve alongside of him. I've seen his heart. I've seen that transformation up close, and it's pretty exciting to see. We had a great time in Bulgaria this last summer on a mission trip. Every morning, kind of, he and I were the walkers, and so we walked everywhere in that town. But it was really good. All right, you know, everybody who has trusted in Christ is transformed in that way. We're all being transformed, but we have been transformed. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, I'm reading this because we're about to partake of the Lord's Supper, and I wanted to set it up so that we, what's before us is the work of Christ in transforming us. So, a couple verses before this, I won't display that one, but in verse 17 it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." That's a testimony that my brother just gave. The old has passed away. The new has come. And here's why, in verse 21. "For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." You see that great transformation? That massive trade? Jesus took our sin on his shoulders. And he gave us his righteousness. So that now you and I have a standing before God, and that is by grace alone. Nothing you can do to earn that. It is by grace. And so as we partake of this, we eat this bread and it reminds us of Jesus' body that was broken on the cross as a guilty sinner, even though he had never sinned and was full righteousness. Because he died for us. We were guilty. And he stood as our substitute. And we drink this wine because it reminds us that his blood was shed for us. And that through his blood, we now have a relationship, a covenantal relationship with him. And so all true believers are welcome to take the Lord's Supper today. You don't have to be a member of Ridgeview. Just asking that you be a believer who is following Jesus Christ for real. You're the real deal. And what we'll do is I'll pray, and then there's elements in the front and the back, and you just make your way up or back there and take it and take it back to your seat and partake with your heart and mind set in worship to God and remembrance of Christ for what he has done for you. And if you don't want to go forward or come back, it's okay. You don't have to. No one will even notice. So you'll see there's a lot of movement here. So let's pray and then partake in a worshipful way of these elements. Father, thank you for giving us your righteousness and taking our sin. Thank you for that great exchange and the transformation that you have wrought through that. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior who bled and died and rose again, we pray. Amen.